Let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise and give you glory, Lord God. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, the one who brings all things to our remembrance. Holy Spirit, we actually use that as an instrument to open your word up to us. Open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. On last week, when we finished up the class, right before we finished, we went and we read over in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we gave you those scriptures on there. And one of the things as we go through our lesson today, one of the things we find out is that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was not given these commands to sinners, but to sons and daughters of the new covenant. We think about commands, but these were the characteristics that a believer should have. And so he gave those characteristics. I won't go through those again because we did a pretty good job on it last week. Because the kind of behavior he describes is impossible for any sinner to hope to exhibit. That's straight from the author's booklet. I just say I'll give you some notes from the booklet itself. You can go through it as you're reading through it. He says, but sons and daughters will have access to an entirely new nature and a supernatural grace. He will have access. He said, if you go back and we think about the scripture and in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it tells us that in the booklet, just take it off the note, write your notes down. Write your notes down. But it's in the booklet. I'll let you know after class. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the book tells us, we know we have a new nature. It says, if we be Christ, then are we new creatures. It says, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So we have a new nature. And because of this new nature, it's a supernatural nature, and we can receive from God the things that he wants us to have as sons and daughters. He was simply describing how these new people would behave. Remember, the old covenant was an external covenant, one that you had to perform, one that you knew from outwardly, a system of control designed to keep sinners in line. But the new covenant is an internal covenant, and it's for sons and daughters. Remember, over in, and we read the scripture in Hebrews, but let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, looking at verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which by my covenant, they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts. He said, I'll put my laws in there, so he's going to put it on the inside of us and write it in their hearts. And we'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And so this is an inward covenant. We have to know that. Remember last week we said we didn't have a relationship with the law, but a relationship with the Spirit. So it's on the inside of us that we have this covenant. The new covenant is an internal covenant for sons and daughters, who because of their new nature can be trusted with the responsibility to govern themselves and have access to the power of self-control, which is the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We can have control because of that. is a superior power to walk in righteousness. We know we're there, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We have been made the righteousness of God in Him because of what Jesus did, not because of what we have done. There are some challenges in learning how to walk in the Spirit. Remember, last week we went through Galatians 5, and we say we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. And so if we're going to learn to walk, there are some things that we have to do. It's possible if it wasn't possible, the Word of God wouldn't tell us that we should walk in the Spirit. So we should walk in the Spirit. There are some challenges to walking in the Spirit, but these are not the same challenges we face when we're trying to keep the rules. These are different challenges. One of the things as we start studying, I'll tell you, we have a relationship with Jesus in this new covenant. This relationship is a relationship of love. There are challenges of dying to ourselves and exercising our self-control so that we stay connected to the full God's grace that enables us to live sin-free. And so we cover the scripture over in Galatians 2:20, where it says that I am crucified with Christ. So we have to die to self. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's one of the challenges that we have. We have to die to self if we're going to learn to operate in this new covenant. It's not about us anymore, but it's about God himself and the Spirit of God. The law that rules in this kingdom is the law of Christ. Romans 8:1-2 says, turn to Romans 8, and like I said, we just cover some scripture until the Holy Ghost decides he's going to give some more notes. Let's turn to Romans 8. The law that rules in this kingdom, in the spiritual kingdom that we're in now, is the law of Christ. Verse 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after performances, but after the Spirit. Not after things that we can do or perform ourselves by following rules and regulations, but by following the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we are free from the old law. We have a new law, which is in our law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And in this law, it is a law of love. That's why when we study building on this culture of honor, how we are unpunishable, how we cannot be condemned in this culture. And we're changing our paradigm from the way we did things the old way to a new way of doing things. When we look at our brothers and sisters, we're going to look at them differently. And like I say, what we're doing, we're building a place that a person who fell from grace can come back and be built back up, and we can restore them spiritually. And there has to be a group of people who understand the government. This is God's government. This is the way He set it up. And so if we're going to begin to see those supernatural acts that we see throughout Scripture, then God's government has to be in place. It has to be the way He set it up, and then we can begin to see those things that God says we can see. The first thing we have to understand that in this law, it is the law of love. And so I go back and I think about one of the things that Jesus, we think about commandments, and when you think about commandments, there was a lawyer, a scribe that came to Jesus in the gospel. He came to Jesus and he asked him a question. He said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He asked him about the law. Turn to, let's see. John 22. tell you what, let's make it Luke chapter 10. Looking at verse 26. Beginning at verse 25, it says, and Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But in the other part of the gospel, he asked him, he said, what is the greatest commandment? And he told him, he said, the greatest commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And he said, on these two laws, and he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two laws hang all the prophets. And what he was telling them is, he said, in the law, he said, these are the things that you have to do. But in the new covenant, God said, Jesus said, now I give you a new covenant. It was not a covenant of rules and regulations. He said, I now give you a new commandment. Let's turn over to John chapter 14 now. Jesus said, if you love me, remember I said it's a covenant of love. Jesus said, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. And so in prior times, what we considered as when he said, keep my commandments, we were thinking about Ten Commandments. And so we always go back and think about, well, that's not what he was saying. He said, now, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Before he got to that point, over in 13, he said, verse 14:15, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So we say, how can we keep this commandment of love? He said, a new commandment I give you, that you should love your neighbor, love your brother as yourself. He said, now how are you going to keep this commandment? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This is a relationship with the Spirit. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to help you to keep this law of love in this new covenant. In Romans 5:5, it tells us. It tells us how you're going to do it. It says, hope, make it not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that's the inward part, that's inner. That's not an outward thing that we have to do, but the Holy Ghost is going to help us keep this law of love. That's why he said, I'm going to send you I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is going to be with us, and he's going to help us to keep this love commandment. The kingdom of love manifests in our lives. And so when we understand what Jesus was talking about, this commandment of love, he was saying that in this new covenant, love will be the foundation by which we operate in the kingdom of God. Let's look at another scripture here. John 14 and 21. In 14 and 21, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him." Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, he said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus said, answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the words which you hear, not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you." And then he starts with the Holy Ghost again. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." And again, go back to what he prophesied, that God said, "I'm going to put my laws in your heart." And the only way you're going to do it is by, you're going to be able to do it is by the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to John chapter 15, looking at verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is my commandment. This is the new commandment that I give you. John 15, verse 12. He says that greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He goes on and says, "You have not chosen me." He said, "But I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And again, he says again, he said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." And so again, this is a covenant of love that Jesus has set up for us in this new kingdom. And in order for us to operate in this kingdom, it has to be a covenant of love. Turn to 1 John. Looking at verse 16, he said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." And again, it goes back to this love relationship, our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with our brethren. Over in 1 John chapter 4, he goes again. Beginning at verse 16, I just read this one. Okay, well, let's go back all the way back up. Begin reading verse 7. I just want to read this. He said, "Beloved," 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That's a new part of the new covenant that we have to understand. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's again, that's that, you can go back and look at Galatians 2:20. We can live through him. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So we live through him, not through our what we do, not through our performances, not the things that by keeping his commandments, not doing the things that trying to make ourselves righteous. But he says, he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he says it again. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I remember earlier we talked, when we punish people, we have a fear of sin. And because we have a fear of sin, we act it out in fear. And verse 18 tells us, he said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. He said, we love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. And so, as we get further into this love relationship with the Father, this love relationship with our fellow man. And the Apostle Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 13, he began to tell us about this love and how love acts, how love behaves. Even in the church, we have this idea of what love is. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, he began to explain what this love does. And last week I brought an Amplified Bible, and he amplified it for us so we could see it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13, Apostle Paul, he gives a good rendering of this love that we should have towards each other. And like I said, if you have an Amplified Bible, you can go in and read it in the Amplified Bible. I didn't bring my Amplified tonight, so I'll just read it from the King James Version here. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, he said, charity here, but we're talking about love, have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He says that no matter how much I do, if I'm not operating in love, then I'm just making noise, is what he's saying. He's saying, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, he said, I'm nothing. So, again, we're talking about the love toward our brethren that Jesus commanded us in the Scriptures. And so when when we talk about love, it's not the type of love that we understand. See, sinners love each other when someone has loved them. We have to get to a point that we love in spite of what that individual is. And when people come at you wrongly, we have to still learn that we should be operating in love. And that's the type of love that God says, I am. God says, if God held something toward us, most of us would not be saved because we were as filthy rags. But in spite of what we did, and we can come to God and we can repent, and God will take us right into the kingdom because of his love for us. God loved us. So he wants us to love the same. He said, as he is, so should we be in this world. As he gave his life for us, we should also lay down our lives for our brethren. And he goes on to say in verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. He said, love suffers long. That means it's patient. You know, we're patient with people. You know, sometimes there are individuals, you deliver them, and pull along, they're right back in the place they were before. But then what we do? We're not going to cast them aside. We're going to go back in love and restore them to their position. That's what he's saying. He said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be fun and have my love, it's probably nothing. He said, love suffered long, and it's time. Love in it not. Love on it not itself. It's not puffed up. Did not behave itself unseemly. Seek it not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. If it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. He said, love never faileth. He said, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when this person comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. But he was explaining this love, and if we should go back and if you don't quite understand what he's saying, read it in the Amplified Bible, and he gives a graphic picture of what this love. He explains it, he amplifies it, he expands it. But like I say, in this kingdom, in the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it was set up that we should operate in love. And it's not the type of love that we in the body of Christ see. It's a God kind of love. And when I say that, every member, we have the ability to operate this way because of the Holy Spirit who's in us. You say, we go back and we think about what Jesus said. He says that when a man takes away your cloak, he say, give it your cloak also. And so what he's saying is it's different in the kingdom of God in the way we operate. And so he's talking us to sons and God, sons and daughters of God. And if we're going to operate in this kingdom, it has to be a love relationship. And if we try to do it any other way, it's the things that God has for us is not going to operate. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. He said, no life in the rules. If you have a relationship with Jesus and love isn't showing up in your relationship with people, then you don't have what you don't know what you have. If you cannot cultivate heart-to-heart relationship and practice intimacy with people, so in this relationship, we have to have a heart-to-heart relationship. It's a relationship of love. And again, when we do things, first thing we should ask, how is my actions affecting my relationship, my love relationship? And so that's what in this culture of honor that we're teaching. It has to be based on a love relationship. When we don't know who God is, we don't know his love. And I read that over in John. It is still 1 John to show you who God is. God is love. And if God is love, then we should act the way God. God has put himself, his spirit on the inside of us. And so the same way God acts, we should act the same way. And how his love works. We get scared and return him and our relationship with Him into something what we already know. So it's these things that we understand, these things that we how we've always acted, that's what we know. But we're learning something new. Our paradigm is shifting. Our thought patterns are changing about how we operate in the kingdom of love. The truth is that we give everyone in our circle of influence what we know. So if someone committed sin act, the things that we know, things that we're used to doing, is moving them out of their position and kicking them to the curb and, in fact, basically killing them. You know, we're the only species on the face of the earth that kills our own, which are Christians. We kill out. You know, when they do something bad, then we throw them to the side and forget all about it. And the Word of God said we should, in the spirit of love, restore them because they have been caught in the snare of the enemy. So we can help deliver them out of the snare of the enemy. The truth is that we give everyone in our circle of influence what we know. And this contributes to the development of a relational culture. This is either rule-driven or love-driven. And most times we operate in a rule-driven culture. And the whole process is to restore an individual to a relationship with the rules. And we know all those do's and don'ts that covers in the rules, in those commandments. And so we are trying to restore them to a relationship with the rules. And only one promotes honor. On one of these relationships promotes honor. Because only one accurately acknowledges the fullness of our God-given identity. There's no culture of honor without a strongly shared belief that we are free sons and daughters. We must do whatever it takes to courageously embrace this truth of who we are and walk in it and come to know it as our reality. And only then can we create and pass on life. Love and freedom, the kingdom to those around us. And like I say, the way it goes is only then can we create and pass on life, love and freedom in the kingdom to those around us. We always pass on what we know and what we have. If all we know is fear and control, and this is what we keep seeing in our environment. And like I said, again, as we said earlier, when we run into situations, if we don't control the situation, if we can't control it, then we operate in fear. And when we begin to operate in fear, we are operating out of the way God set it up and operating in control. And most times when we think we love something or when we love someone, we actually don't love them. We're trying to control them. And so we always pass on what we know and what we have. If what we know is fear and control, and this is what we keep seeing in our environment, then we must address our core beliefs about ourselves. We must address our core beliefs about sin. We must address our core belief about the cross and the work of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross and the finished work of the cross. Again, we go back and we see that scripture in Romans 8 and 1. And it tells us, it says, there is no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus gave us an example with the lady who was caught in the very act of adultery. And when he came up on her and they brought him to Jesus, he was still operating under the old covenant, but he was showing what it should be like when we get in the new covenant. And when he said, he looked at her and he told him, he said, you who are without sin, he said, let you cast the first stone. And so when they all got up and gradually, one by one, they walked away and he looked at her and he said, where are thine accusers and the ones who condemn you? And the lady looked at him and he said, there's none that accuses me. There's none that condemns me. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. So he was giving us an example how we should be operating in the kingdom. This is love. This God says, and when you operate this way, and because of you have forgiven me of those things that I did, then that's the way love operates, because of that forgiveness. You say, generation after generation in the church has lived life attempting to protect their relationship to the rule book. And again, we go back and we say, to the rule book. To the thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not commit adultery. And they've been over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. From generation to generation, they've been trying to protect their relationship to the rule book. And we're no longer under the law. Remember the scripture says, cast out the bondwoman with her son. And so we're saying it's time now for us to operate in this new covenant the way God set it up. And so we started this course earlier, and one of the things that we say is that we are no more foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And it says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the joints fit the joints together. And we built up a habitation of God through the Spirit. And if we're still operating by the rules, then we're not operating through the Spirit. We're operating by, in the flesh, or by performances. And that's not the way God set up this kingdom, this new kingdom that we're operating in. And so if we're going to operate the way God's government, we're talking about government, and if we're going to do it the way God's government is set up, and we do it right and accurately, then those things God promised us in his word, all those supernatural acts that we see in the scripture, we begin to see them manifest in the church. We got to be able to see those things begin to manifest in the church. You got to have faith that it's going to begin to operate in the church. Because if we don't believe that it's going to happen, then guess what's going to happen? We're never going to see it. Jesus, God told us in Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We come to God, must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we're going to see it. We got to begin to believe that we're going to see him. It's going to happen. We go back and we think about, turn to Mark. I always like this scripture because Mark chapter 4. We got to start saying it. We got to start acting on it. We got to start believing that it's going to happen. We got to begin to speak scriptures on it. We begin to meditate that it's going to happen. We are in the kingdom. And again, I look out and I see the world. The world is manifesting evil everywhere you look. But we who are in the kingdom, most powerful beings on the face of the earth, we have to begin to manifest in the earth realm. We have to begin to show forth God's glory in the earth realm. And the only way we're going to do it is we're going to have to operate the way that he set it up and the directions he's given us from his word. Over here in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus began to talk about, he began to tell us about the parables. And he began to talk about the parable of the sower. And so I'm going to get to a point. I want you to see this. One of the things he got down, and when the disciples who was with Jesus, when he began to teach it, they didn't quite understand what he was talking. So one of them came to him and pulled him to the side. He said, now, you know, I heard you talking about these parables. He said, what did it mean? But see, right now, we have the Holy Spirit. When we read Scripture, when we get the Word of God, we can go to the Holy Spirit. and the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comfort. I'm going to send you someone to help you do the same thing that I did when I was with you. They even went to Jesus. They put him to the side and they said, well, what did you mean by that parable? What did you mean? So we can go to the Holy Spirit and he would tell us the same thing. Here in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, he said, and he said unto them, he was talking about the parable, he said unto them, he said, he that have ears to hear, let them hear. And verse 11 say, and he said unto them, he said unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable. He said that seeing they may see and not perceive, that's a supernatural perceiving. He said hearing they may hear and not understand. He said at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He goes on and says in verse 14, he's talking about a sower. He said, sow it the word. And so we have to begin to use the word of God and begin to create, begin to manifest the things in our lives, in the earth realm, that the way the word set it up here in the word. He said, sow the word. And so as our apostle began to minister and began to teach, he was teaching ministers during the ministers' conference. And a question he asked a question, and you would think all ministers would know it. He'd say, what did John 15:7 say? And it shocked me that ministers didn't understand what he said. He said, John 15:7 said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So Jesus said, if you continue to abide with me, and my words abide in you, that's keep my commandments, keep what I say unto you. And then, guess what? When you begin to ask God for something, if it's healing for your body, we know he's already provided that for you because he tells us, he said, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with Christ, we are healed. We already done. This is a done deal. And so when the enemy attacks us, what do? We come and we forget about what his word has said unto us. And so we take the report of the enemy. He said, the word of God said, whose report are we going to believe? How are we going to operate? What are we going to do? Are we going to read the report of the enemy? Are we going to believe his report, what he said? And so in order for us to do that, we have to, saturate ourselves with the word of God and begin to see these things manifest. Joshua 1:8 tells us a perfect example. He tells us, he says, this book of the law, he's talking about what Jesus had given us, should not depart out of our mouth, out of our eyes, but we should meditate in them day and night. And then we should make our way prosperous and we should have good success. We have saturated ourselves with the word of God. You abide in me, my word is abide in you, ask for what you will. That means that the word of God is in you so much until when it says, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, as our apostle was ministering, he says things that are so profound, and I hear him, and it pricks my spirit. He talks about Jesus. He said, when Jesus went up on the mountain of transfiguration, he said, what was on the inside of him came on the outside of him. The same way, we got the same thing on in us. If we have enough of him in us, what's on the inside of us should manifest on the outside. He made another statement yesterday. He said, until you get money in your spirit, we talk about money coming. Until you get money in your spirit, you can never have money in your hand. It has to be on the inside first before it manifests on the outside. And so what was he saying? He said we have to find out what God is saying in his word and begin to use what God tells us in his kingdom. He said, verse 14, John 4:14, Mark 4:14, he says, so the word. But what I want you to get down and see, he says in verse 26, he says, so is the kingdom of God, is as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, knowing not how. He said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. He said, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. We get to a point where we get weary in what we are doing because we don't see the manifestation that we're seeking God for. Galatians 6:7 says, and He said, and God is not mocked. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are we sowing? What are we saying? What is coming out of our mouth? Do we want to really see God's glory manifest in us? He gave us a definition of God's glory. Is it God's glory? Glory is all that he is, all that he has, and all that he can do. That means that there's nothing that God has, there's nothing that he says that he can't do. And so if we understand who he is, then there's nothing that becomes a point that there should be nothing impossible to God. Because why? We are operating in this kingdom. We're operating under God's government, the way he set it up. And so whatever God has said in his book, that's why he can say, every promise of God is yea and amen to us who believe it. Are we believers? Are we just going through the motions? Are saying that we believe? If we begin to believe what God says, then we can begin to see the manifestation of what he said in the book. He said, for the earth bringing forth fruit of herself, he said, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. He said, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it forth the sickle, because the harvest is coming. He said, once we begin to hear these things, it becomes a process by which the manifestations come. Sometimes we get suddenly, sometimes we get immediately, but it is a process. There's a growing process as it begins to manifest. But you have to stick with it. Be not weary in well done, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. And so we just keep going. We keep going through the process, and then we begin to see God manifest in our lives, in the kingdom of God. God said, you know, he made a statement over in the Old Testament. He said, my glory is going to fill the earth. But the only way he's going to fill the earth, he's going to have to find individuals who believe what he said, like Abraham said. Abraham became fully persuaded what God had promised, that he was also able to perform. So we who are believers, we have to believe that God's word is true, and that what he said in his word will manifest, and we can begin to see the supernatural. We can begin to see individuals come into the sanctuary with illnesses, in wheelchairs, with crutches, and they can get up, and when they come in with wheelchairs, they get up and walk out. That's where God set it up. That's where Jesus wants us to be. He destroyed the works of the devil. And if we're going to operate in this kingdom, then we're going to have to set it up, and we have to do it the way he set it up. Let's take Romans 5:5, and let it be your meditation scripture for this class. Where it says, hope, make it not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That'll be your meditation scripture. And don't just take your scripture and write them down. Go ahead and begin to meditate. And God says, when you meditate them, you don't let them fall out of your eyes, out of your mouth. But he says, you meditate them, then you make the way prosper, and you have good success. And so, like I say, this kingdom that we're operating in is a kingdom of love. And all the way we're going to do it, the Holy Ghost is going to help us operate this way. Otherwise, we're going to continue to operate in our old way, in our old paradigm, and the only way we're going to love somebody is they love us first. And God wants us to love. He says, our new commandment that I give you is to love your brother as yourself. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. We thank you that you open our eyes and we see and our ears and hear, and you give us a heart to understand. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us and manifest the words that you send to your people, Father, that they may bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.